Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, thank you very much for your patience. We're running a little bit late. Our recording of the presentation tonight, it's a special presentation. And not a very common topic, but that's one that's very important. Very important. We talk about real estate. You know, when you, hey everybody, thank you very much for your patience. We're running a little bit late.
Commercial real estate,
recording of the presentation tonight. Very special presentation. And not a very common topic, but that's one that's very important.
Or the title company, their
attorney,
that closes the sale.
We talk about real estate.
The transaction.
You know, when you, hey, everybody, thank you very much for your patience.
The IRS.
We're running a little bit late.
Commercial.
And then tell the IRS to come after you for taxes. I'm going to show you guys why that's not the case. This is something new I just discovered because I had to do the work on it. And it's going to be fun. So let's go. I think I have everything ready for you guys. You ready? Okay, we're almost ready. The time clock is zeroed out. By the way, for those of you watching, we just came from the printers. Got these, our brochures. Live Free Now with Freedom Law School. Take the 7 steps below to live free of IRS deception, robbery, and slavery now. Step one, based on U.S. government's official legal website, there's no law requiring 99% of Americans to file and pay. All the 7 steps are here. This is a good thing to pass out to your friends, family, coworkers. Okay? So call us. We'll mail this to you at no extra charge. As many as you want to pass out. Are we ready to record? And we're going to test the headphone first for a minute, guys. So thank you, Karen, for your patience. You're going to love this, Karen. Yes, we're going to get it out to all the real estate agents, escrow companies. And your clients will love you. You real estate agents, folks. Your client's going to love you because you're going to be able to show them how to sell the real estate and pay lawfully, legally, by following governments on official legal website, pay zero income tax. What's that? I don't hear anything. So it's good. It's good. Yeah, we're good. Okay. All right, guys. Yeah. I'm all ready. I'm excited. Yes. Yeah. No problem. There's a few more seconds, folks. We'll start momentarily. Hello, my friends. I am Peyman Motahede, the president and founder of Freedom Law School, which I created in 1996. In this presentation, I will answer this question for you. When you sell real estate, must the escrow or the title or the closing attorney who makes sure the transaction takes place, is that person required to report that sale to the Internal Revenue Service, IRS, on a 1099 form or not? We're going to go straight to the laws, folks. Not my opinion. We're going to go to government's own official legal website, okay? Let's go to it right here. This answer is here. This is, as you can see, let's read on the, what it says. It tells us right there that the United States Code is a consolidation and codification by subject matter of the general and permanent laws of the United States, right? The federal government, right? And it is prepared by the Office of the Law Revision Council of the United States House of Representatives. These are the lawyers of the U.S. House of Representatives. All federal laws are published here. This is the official source of law from the United States government by the lawmakers. Title I, you know, provisions to Congress. You go down to these title or categories. Category 26. Title 26 is the Internal Revenue Code or federal tax laws. So that's, we'll rely on that and U.S. Supreme Court decision. No lower authorities are accepted. So let's go straight to it. I'm going to show you now a typical real estate transact closing form that's given to the seller and the buyer to sign. Okay? So let's see if these forms are correct or not. If they're not, they're inducing you to break the law, and I'm going to show you how to have them do it right. So this would be of particular interest to real estate sellers and real estate agents and brokers, mortgage agents, folks, escrow companies, title companies, title closing companies. You all listen up, folks. This is for you. Billions and billions of real estate being sold that should be tax-free in America that's being taxed illegally because people do not know the law, like I'm going to show you here clearly for you to see. So here's an example. We got this person, okay, that got this document at closing, right? DocuSign envelope, ID number, whatever. And it's a notice to all buyers and sellers of real estate, right? And the Foreign Investment Real Property Tax Act, FIRPTA. Let's see what the highlighted part that's relevant says. Buyer's responsibility to withhold. Effective January 1, 1985, Internal Revenue Code Section 1445 requires all buyers who purchase real estate in the United States, that's the key word, folks, United States, we're going to define that later on, from foreign sellers, that's from someone outside of the United States, to withhold 10% of their purchase price from the sale proceeds and to pay that amount to the Internal Revenue Service within 10 days of the date of the escrow closes unless an exemption from withholding applies. Okay, well, so far, everything appears normal, right? It's not. Let's go into it a little bit deeper, okay? Also, this document is given to this person, seller's affidavit of non-foreign status. And it says, first line, section 1445 of the Internal Revenue Code provides that a transferee of a U.S. property interest must withhold tax if a transfer is a foreign person, okay? And so they also want you to sign that I am a in the highlighted area below again, I'm a non-resident alien for purposes of U.S. income taxation. Is that interesting, folks? Non-resident alien for purposes of U.S. income taxation. So they know that for different purposes, definitions could be quite different, right? So, of course, all of this, they want you to sign under penalties of perjury is true, correct, and complete. Yes, under oath. So this is serious that you must do this correctly by following the law. So what do these terms mean? U.S. real property interest. You see that on the top of the page, top center? That's key word. We're going to find out what is U.S. real property interest means because a lot of this holds is related to this issue. What is the U.S. real property interest? Well, they mentioned section 1445 here on the top left. Let's go look it up. By the way, folks, remember, what you've seen online is Title 26 is this. The Internal Revenue Code, the entire federal tax laws. Yep, all this tissue, thin paper, gobbledygook, you see? Tiny font. Don't worry. I've got it figured out for you so easy. A sixth grader can understand what I'm going to show you in here very clearly and simply, okay? All right, we're going to look at this section 1445 that we just heard. Withholding of tax on dispositions of United States real property interest. That's the key word. We're going to have to define, right? So let's go ahead and read this 1445 a little bit more closely. It says, A, except as provided in this section, in the case of any disposition of a United States real property interest, as defined in Section 897C, by foreign person, the transferee shall be required to deduct and withhold the tax equal to 15% of the amount realized on a disposition. The key thing is, what is a United States real property interest? And that is defined in Section 897C. Okay, let's go see what Section 897C says. And here it is, Section 897C, disposition of investment in United States real property, right? All this, folks, is from Title 26, Internal Revenue Code. So let's go down to the Part C, 897C. And it tells us that for the purposes of this section, what section? Section 897C. Here it is, folks. United States real property interest, okay? In general, except as provided in subparagraph B or subsection K. Oh, the term United States real property interest means an interest in real property, right? Located in the United States or the Virgin Islands, right? Okay. And the rest of it, folks, is not really relevant, geography-wise. Okay? So here's the key. We have to find out what is United States or Virgin Islands mean, because only a real property located in the United States or Virgin Islands is covered here. So let's see what these are. Let's go a little bit farther out. We're going to go to section 7701 to see what United States means, right? So this is definitions. Section 7701 definition says when used in this title. What titles are they speaking about? This, Title 26, the Internal Revenue Code, Federal Tax Laws, okay? So as used in the Internal Revenue Code, they define a lot of things, like person has its own definition. But we're going to go down to United States, okay? And here it is. The term United States, when used in a geographical sense, includes only the states and the District of Columbia. All right. How about the term state? Well, the term state shall be construed to include the District of Columbia again. So you have District of Columbia plus states, which means also the District of Columbia, you get the same. District of Columbia, United States means generally in the Internal Revenue Code to be District of Columbia. So the term United States you saw earlier, here located in the United States, is located in the District of Columbia. Does not include any of the 50 states or any U.S. territories like Puerto Rico, like Guam, like, right, they're not included, or American Samoa. It does include the Virgin Islands, though. You got to assume things. You have to go specifically what the law says, okay? Now, let's go a little farther now, and to, we already got that, the Supreme Court. And I'm going to show you the Supreme Court agrees with my interpretation that only what's there defined in the law, that we have to go by that only. is the U.S. Supreme Court's website, supremecourt.gov. Look up the case of Stenberg versus Carhartt. Came out in the year 2000. And the relevant page in the language relevant says, when a statute or law includes an explicit definition, like the definitions I just showed you, right? We must follow that definition, even if it varies from that term's ordinary meaning. See, you cannot go by the ordinary meaning. You got to go by that very specific definition given to you. And furthermore, it is axiomatic, which means self-evident, self-evident or obvious, that the statutory definition of the term excludes unstated meanings of that term. Something that's not mentioned, listed in the law statute, it's not there. It excludes it. Okay? So that's why here, when you see the term United States, does not mention any of the 50 states or Puerto Rico or Virgin Islands, it's not there. Okay? So let's go now to another U.S. Supreme Court, Gould versus Gould. Okay? This is a 1917 unanimous U.S. Supreme Court case in 1917, which tells us in relevant language, I'm going to take it back to you right now, very powerful, important thing. It says, this is the conclusion of the court. It tells us that in the interpretation or understanding of statutes, laws, levying or imposing taxes. In understanding laws imposing taxes, it is the established rule not to extend their provisions. Not to extend the provision of tax laws by implication beyond the clear import of the language used, or to enlarge the operation of the tax laws so as to embrace matters not specifically pointed out. If it's not specifically pointed out, it's not there. There is no implication beyond the clear import of the language used. Now, and if you have any doubts, folks, the court tells us, in case of any doubt, they, the tax laws, are construed, interpreted, or understood most strongly against the government's power to tax and in favor of the citizen not being taxed. Very key, powerful case, folks, okay? Now, so we go back to this thing, you see, we talk about the real property interest, cover that, real property interest, here we go, United States real property interest, means a property located in District of Columbia or the Virgin Islands. See, all this stuff about real estate sales, 10% withholding applies to a land that's been sold in D.C. or Virgin Islands. That's what the law says. Wrong or right? Disagree with it? I just follow the law as it is written. Okay. Now, let's go to Section 6045, by the way, which talks about returns of brokers, that every person doing business as a broker, like a real estate broker, okay, shall, when required by secretary, make a return in accordance with such regulations as the secretary may prescribe. Make a report, like 1099 forms, okay? Now, let's go down a little further about who are these brokers they're speaking about. Well, we go down to 6045-2, okay, A2. It talks about real estate reporting person. Okay, that's not a regular real estate salesman. Real estate reporting person for the purposes of this subsection, Section 6045, which has, look at this, folks, has its own definition. This section has its own definition, right? Very unique. The term real estate reporting person means any of the following persons involved in a real estate transaction in the following order, okay? Here's our favorite one. a person, including any attorney or title company, responsible for closing the transaction, right? So then you got, of course, a mortgage lender, the seller's broker, buyer's broker, or such other person designated in regulations prescribed by secretary. So all these are persons, right? Uh-huh. Okay. Well, let's see what the person is. Yes. Person has its own definition. You will be surprised. Okay. Here it is. Any person treated as a real estate reporting person on their preceding sentence shall be treated as a broker for purposes of subsection C1. Okay, sorry guys. We're going to go down to C1. What is the word person, right? This whole thing right now will hinge on what is the word person. Do you see that? Okay, the person, okay? Real estate reporting person. So what is a person? And we have to go to subsection C1. Let's go down to C1. And a C1, folks, that's how to make this stuff so complex for you guys. Here it is, 6045, C1, definitions. For the purposes of this section, section 6045, folks. Yep, this section, 6045. The term broker includes a dealer, a bar exchange, right? Now, all this stuff, right? Now, look at that. Let's see. Where was I at about this? Oh, here we go. Look at the key part is person, however. It includes any governmental unit and agency or instrumentality thereof. Wow. That is amazing, isn't it, folks? The only persons that this whole thing talks about is a governmental unit, federal government units, an agency and instrumentality of the federal government, not France, Germany, Florida, or Texas, or California, any of the 50 states, a government unit. Yeah, all this is government, folks. That's who it is. We go and we think, oh, that applies to anybody. It does. Oh, you go back, all this stuff, brokers. So the only people that are supposed to do this stuff in the United States, District of Columbia, Virgin Islands, and it applies to government people. When it's selling basically government property. No. So let's go further, folks. Just amazing. And remember, these definitions are mandatory on us. Okay? So, you see these reporting requirements, 1099s? Well, the IRS at its own website tells us on this page, am I required to file a form 1099 or other information return? Right? This page is consistent with federal laws. Let's go a little bit further down, and it tells us that if, as a part of your trade or business, you made any of the following types of payments, this is the key right here. Are you involved in a trade or business? Okay, I'm going to make it a little bigger for you guys. Okay, that's the key, your trade or business. Now you're thinking, oh, well, I'm a business person. I'm a real estate broker, real estate agent, real estate mortgage agent. It all applies to me, escrow company, title company, closing attorney. I'm involved in a trade or business, right? No. Let's go further down on this thing, okay? And I'll show you're not involved in a trade or business, okay? So if as a part of your trade business, you receive any of the following types of payments, use link to be directed to information on the following appropriate return. And here you see the second one is sale or exchange of real estate. For example, the person responsible for closing the transaction from 1099-S. Ah! That's the form, 1099-S, that escrow title companies think they have to issue about you to the IRS. But that does not apply to you, and you'll see why in just a minute. Because Title 26, Section 7701 definition says when used in this title. Again, what title are we talking about? Title 26. the Internal Revenue Code. Right? We go down to A26, way down there. And look at that. Trader business has its own definition. The term trader business includes the performance of the functions of a public office. Wow! A federal government office. Yes. Federal agencies, you know, federal offices, right? Federal workers, judges, president, congressmen, they're performing functions of a public office, not you as a small business owner, not you as an escrow title company. Okay, as attorney, it doesn't apply to you at all. So, you folks, so this 1099, as you can see, does not apply to you at all. Title company, escrow company, closing attorney, if they're giving you these kind of forms, they're breaking the law. They're violating federal law and putting you and themselves at risk of going to prison. I assure you why. Because remember, these forms are signed under penalties of perjury. Your property in the 50 states is not subject to these closing escrow laws of the Internal Revenue Code at all. Your home sale, your real estate sale, according to this, is not subject to any reporting at all during escrow, whatsoever of any kind, period. And if you break that, you're taking the risk. Okay. So here we go. Let's look at the laws. Because you've signed, if you say you are, you know, doing, you're one of these people, the escrow company could be committing a crime of fraud and false statements and having you sign a false and fraudulent statement. Yes, because these forms that you're required to file, look at them. They all are signed under penalties of perjury. On the left, yellow highlighted, under penalties of perjury. So you are lying when you are signing these forms. Okay? You're making a declaration under penalties of perjury. Yep. So it says any person who willfully, now you're willful, now you know, makes and subscribes any return statement or other document like this stuff, what I just showed you, which contains or is verified by written declaration that is made under the penalties of perjury and which he does not believe to be true and correct as to every material matter, right? Like this stuff, if you sign this real estate papers, which are false if you sign them, right? What's the penalty for that? Shall be guilty of a felony. Upon conviction thereof shall be fined not more than $100,000 or imprisoned not more than 3 years. Yep. Or both. Dealing with the cost of the prosecution. Yep. So you who signed the paper, you made a false and fraudulent statement. You can go to prison for 3 years. And the escrow or title company people and the company that had you gave this form to sign it falsely, knowing you're not in the District of Columbia or D.C. or Virgin Islands, they also broke a law with you as well. Look at this. There's a federal law against all this. Title 18. Section 371, conspiracy to commit offense or to defraud the United States. Yes. It says right here, conspiracy is if two or more persons, like you and the title escrow company officer and the company, like Chicago Title, right, conspire to either commit any offense against the United States. And guess what? You sign this paper on the penalty of perjury, that's wrong. It's an offense. Section 7206. False and fraudulent statements, assign these wrong forms is an offense against the United States. Yeah. If you do this, okay, well, you shall be fined, undersaddled, or imprisoned, not more than 5 years or both. Man, look at that. He can go to prison up to 5 years. You, the town escrow officer, and the managers, owners of that company. Why take such a chance, folks? Right? Don't take a chance. Follow the law verbatim, as you just saw for yourself, from the Internal Revenue Code, U.S. Supreme Court, okay? And you should not be 1099. So if your property sold for $2 million and you had a $500,000 mortgage and you had $1.5 million gain, the $1.5 million gain you made on the sale of the house, is not reported to the IRS. It's not taxable at all because it was never meant to be. It is not in the District of Columbia. So, what you can find more about this, folks, you want to go to our website, livefreenow.org, for your Moscow's website. Take these 7 steps to live free now of IRS deception, robbery, and slavery. And I will show you in step one that, again, based on U.S. government's official legal websites, no law requires 99% of Americans and paying income tax. The reason that no 1099 should be issued about your real estate sale, whether it's $200,000 or $20 billion, I don't care. It is not in the District of Columbia. It was never meant to be taxed. With this information, folks, you can contact the escrow company, explain a law to them that they should not have you fill out these forms, commit a crime, and they should not get you to conspire with them to make a false and fraudulent statement. Both you can go to prison for 5 years. You get an additional 3 years. All the law. Now, you say, Paymon, I'm still a little nervous. Can you give me a hand? Yes, I can. I can give you a hand. I can help you make a real estate transaction and legally zero income tax by following the laws I just showed you from the government's own official legal website. So what you want to do is this. You want to have your real estate not be taxed or 1099 by the escrow? Go to step one. Watch the 10-minute video here. Start your journey to be free right here. Free of IRS deception, robbery, and slavery. Watch more about it on this step, videos that takes you there. Now, the 7 steps I mentioned to you, 7 steps, I'm going to show them to you right now, but a good, quick summary of the all 7 steps, 43 minutes, is in this presentation. I did the Redfield Expo in Indianapolis. Watch this video. That's 43 minutes long. But here's a quick overview of the each step, and each step here in the pages is more detailed. Number one, I'm sorry, step two, you probably think that filing a 1040 income tax confession trap is the safest, smartest way to keep the IRS from hurting you. True. It's opposite. It's dangerous. You give the rope, you put it around your neck, you sign the form under penalty of perjury, which is false. You hand it to the IRS for the IRS to pull and hang you. Click on the cartoon, you read more about this. Step three, you probably believe that the IRS is the most powerful government agency at any time, can empty your bank account and steal your money if you do not file a 1040 tax confession trap. Nope. The IRS, folks, has under 80,000 employees, less than 20,000 of them have any training or education beyond the mere clerk type stuff in. Auditors, collection agents, managers, lawyers, everything. Less than 20,000 within America, which is over 330 million people. They are not watching you, folks. They don't have the manpower. Okay? It's a myth that IRS is powerful and you're weak. So, again, you go click on the cartoon that the IRS and the media wants to believe the IRS is God, file your taxes or else, okay? And you're going to see that you've been deceived. You have a lot more power than you ever realized. Okay? And they're weak. IRS is weak. Number four, folks, I have not followed up paid any U.S. income taxes 1990. And the IRS knows this fact very well. And as IRS has never attempted to indict or put me in prison or not having filed or paid any U.S. income taxes for almost 3 years. Yeah. Why? Why do you think? Because I know the law. In fact, they've taken me to court and I've beaten the IRS. Yes. Even in your U.S. tax court, I've beaten them over $600,000 of taxes. 13 years was completely zeroed out. It's all on my website. You can verify for yourself. And folks, when you equip yourself with knowledge and are prepared, like I'm doing for you in these presentations, the IRS is easy to beat, folks. I've done it. And so click on this cartoon here. You see the myth of the IRS will be blown away and reality will sink in that IRS is not the powerful being that they pretend to be. You are the powerful one, my friends. The five is write your congressman on paying income taxes only if your congressman can show you the law that requires you to file and pay income tax. Yes, only if you show the law that requires you to file and pay income tax. Ask questions. Send the petitions to Congress to lawfully and safely free yourself from IRS deception, robbery, slavery. Yes. And if you go click on this very eye-opening image, okay, you don't have to be a slave to this beast. A tribute to the beast, folks. Yes, I'm going to take you to this thing. Ask questions like I showed you. At the bottom of this page, you'll see there's four petitions. Your congressman, you all should fill it out. It's available for free. Every one of you, I implore you to download them, send them to your congressman, okay? About individual income tax, withholding, Social Security, and 1099 forms. It's all there. Here's the first one on how to lawfully free yourself of filing and paying income taxes. And here it is, folks. Yep. Click on this stuff right here. The link's right here. And you see the PDF of the letter petition to send to your congressman. Ready to go, folks. Yes. Just fill in the name of your congressman, all three of them. Justification for a congressional investigation of the income tax collection. So you let the congressman know, folks, I want you to correct this congressman. Okay? You can be the one to clean up this misunderstanding of the income tax laws that have led to terrible injustices inflicted on citizens of the 50 states of America for over 75 years by principal officers of the Internal Revenue Service, IRS, and the Department of Injustice, DOJ, and some federal judges collectively hereafter, German renegades. Yep. Folks, in this petition, the laws I showed you and more are quoted verbatim from the government's official legal website. Yes. Everything here has been over 50 times proofread, and all the laws that are listed here are attached at the end of the letter. Yes, they sure are. Okay? And then attached after listing here, all of them are listed here. Every single one of them. You see them attached. All the laws I mentioned earlier and more, you see that in these presentations are government's official legal website, and the relevant language is always highlighted for ease of reading by the congressman. And see, by the way, they're great education for you. Now, ending of these petitions is critical because you tell them at the end, like here, okay, that, you know, this letter is my self-determination of my income tax liability. I declare that I am a citizen of one of the 50 states and therefore not a citizen or resident of the United States, defined in the Internal Code as Washington, D.C., making me a non-resident alien with respect to D.C., according to Internal Revenue Code. Yep. And you further say that as a non-resident alien, I further declare that I have no federal income effectively connected to a trade or business defined in Internal Revenue Code as the performance of the functions of a public office within D.C. Therefore, I am not liable to pay any federal income tax. Yep. Even upfront and blunt about it. You see the law? Here's what it means. It applies to me. Right? I'll look at your humble questions here. Appreciate your service to our country and for taking the time to fully read my letter. If by reading this letter would attach Internal Revenue Code and Code of Federal Regulations sections and Supreme Court cases, you could show me that I have somehow misinterpreted the statutes, regulations, or U.S. Supreme Court decisions, and that I do owe federal income taxes, I will gladly pay all taxes due and will consider such payment to be my fair share. Yeah, very humbly, folks. You happy? Pay your fair share. If they have somehow misinterpreted these laws. And then you tell the congressman, when your independent research verifies my discovery that the U.S. individual income tax does not apply to the average Americans like me in the 50 states, I urge you to educate other Congress members about this matter and see if they agree that this justifies conducting an investigation to expose the truth about this government renegade conspiracy and put an end to impoverishing America. I look forward to timely, specific, and on-point reply. Yep, you sign it. Humble to the point. I've never had any congressman be able to refute any of this. They either ignore you, sadly, or they give you off-the-wall answer like, oh, I'm for lowering taxes, you know, I'm a good guy, you know, I'm more for tax reduction and whatever, blah, blah, blah. Form letter by phony computer signature of the congressman put in there by his staff members. The congressman didn't read the letters. Not yet. We're not giving up. We're pushing forward on these guys. They must read our letters and they must respond. Okay, we're going to continue our campaign. So this is step five, folks. They cannot show you the law. Remember what I told you. File and pay income taxes. Do you write to Congress members? And pay only if your congressman can show you the law that requires you to file pay income tax. Right? Remember, the only ones that pay file income tax are citizens and residents of Washington, D.C. and federal workers for perform functions of federal public office. So, come back to your one peace of mind payment. I'm still afraid of the IRS. What can you do? Well, this all is part of you can join our Restore Freedom plan. Yes, we have a plan, folks, to restore freedom in America. Yes, and we want you to join our plan. And by doing so, you can feel safe with our 7-year $1 million guarantee. Yep, by not paying the U.S. income taxes that you never owed in the first place, number one, you drain the swamp, stop financially supporting your deep state enemies, right? Two, you restore freedom and prosperity for you, your family in America. Freeing all that money that was going to enemies to support yourself, your family, your church, whatever cause you believe in, organization, your mosque or others, political candidates like Congressman Ron Paul who are honest for freedom, for protecting your rights. They need money to get the name out there, folks. You can contribute can't be part of returning America. This is what the founding fathers did. Exactly what I'm showing you. Pit to the king, and then to stop paying the king who ignored them. Right? All done without even using, you know, any guns. That's the last resort. You want to keep your powers dry for now, okay? Let's use the First Amendment first. So, bottom line, you're lawfully stockpiling and paying income tax with our Restore Freedom Plan, and your Moscow will keep yours from living your money for 7 years, or your Moscow will reimburse you for up to $1 million for every year that you are a Freedom Moscow member and do not pay income tax by following the law. Yes. And every year gets a separate 7-year $1 million guarantee. And it doesn't mean after 7 years we abandon you. No, it just shows I know my stuff so well. That's a minimum I can guarantee, like an RU buy with 1 million miles, 7-year guarantee. Does not mean the car will break apart after 1 million miles. It just means it's such a good car that the car maker can use such a great 1 million-mile guarantee to begin with, right? So that's what goes on here. So this is what you want to do, folks, to be free, to get a backup. Free Moscow will do everything for you about the IRS, state income tax agencies, any letters with third parties like, you know, employers, suppliers, companies that pay you, okay, real estate transactions, all the stuff you saw. Done for you. We just email the letter to you to print, sign, and mail out. Give a response to us, to Moscow, the response back. We prepared for you to print, sign, and mail out again. All done for you at no extra charge. No hourly or any other fees. And every one of you can afford this program. Yes. I'm committed, folks, to making a Restore Freedom Plan a plan that every American can afford to join. If it does not save you money, don't join. There's a standard price, and we'll lower it with a scholarship to lower it as low as needed for you to come out ahead and be able to contribute to restoring freedom in America and get the peace of mind you want to be free and get these criminals off of your back. Now, last step, exciting, I should mention to you, is some of you say, Pema, I need more extra income. I don't have much money. Well, you want to have more money. You're poor on Social Security. Make your minimum wage. Guess what? Your step 7, your opportunity, your freedom opportunity. You get paid for each American's you're free with our Freedom Opportunity Plan. Yes. Everybody that joins the first year membership, half of their first year membership that they pay annually, that first year, half that goes to you. We're loving other people, folks. Yes, you are loving people when you're giving them this information and giving them the opportunity to be free. Now, they may be afraid. They may be closed-minded. They may not listen to you. That's their choice. Or they may say, hey, I've been waiting for this. Thank you. I knew something was wrong, but nobody could help me put the finger on it. You just did. Thank you for freeing me. But at least you give them the chance. Let them choose. So don't get disheartened. People who are overtaken by fear say, I'm not interested. Roll their eyes. I don't want to get in trouble. That's okay. You can do it. Keep talking to more people. Keep loving more people and give them a chance to be free. With all that, folks, to summarize, your real estate transactions are free of reporting, free of income tax. I can give you all this information at the end, folks. I, as much as would love to see you free, all of you to be free. America be free. Live and let live and live and let love, country. I cannot do that for you. You have to make that choice. be free. So seek the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Go to our website at livefreenow.org, folks. Yes. And if you have not taken the 7 steps to live free of IRS, deception, robbery, slavery, do that. Do your homework and start living the free life now. Folks, we're going to put the call number on Blog Talk Radio on the screen right now, because in order to not be censored potentially, okay, and our channel cut off, we will take the question and answer session to the alternative platforms like we have right now at this point, Rockfin and Rumble and Facebook. Facebook hasn't messed with us. Only YouTube has. So we're going to go over there and Blog Talk Radio. You can get your question answered right now. Call the number on the screen, 657-383-1755. Remember, our website is there, livefreenow.org. Call us at our office number, okay, 813-444-4800. We'll help you. I do answer your questions. So I'm going to end this live broadcast on YouTube. We'll be continuing on Facebook and other platforms, Rockfin and Rumble, and answer questions about this and any of the freedom issue. Okay. Do you have any callers, guys, with questions? Questions, okay. Let's see. I need a pen, guys. Could someone give me a pen, because my pen is not here right now. Just give me a pen, please. And give me the call from, what area code is the caller from? Okay. (393) and (293). Okay. Both from area code 914. Okay, callers. So let's take the one from area code 914-393 first, and then the other caller.
Hello?
Give me, my friend, your first name, how you heard about
your
law school, and then your question, please.
My first name is Gary.
Hello, can I hear you?
Hello?
Are you there?
Yeah, my first name. Yeah.
I don't hear him. Am I here? Hold on a second. I don't hear you, my friend, so give us a minute. We'll fix the sound issue. Why I'm unable to hear you, my friend. Just one moment.
It's Gary.
Hi.
My friend is Gary.
I think you can hear me, but I cannot hear them. Yes. Yeah, I turn it up. Gary. Okay, Gary. I'll take my headphones for right now, Gary. I can hear you from a distance from over there. And hope everybody else can hear you, too. I just can't. Gary, how did you hear about Freedom Law School, by the way? And then what's your question after that?
Can you hear me? God damn it. Hello.
Turn it up.
Hello. Hi, my name is Gary. Hello.
We can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, hi. My question is, I live in New York State, and I owe 10 grand to the IRS. And I was wondering if there's anything I can do so I wouldn't have to pay these taxes.
I did not hear his question.
Just say it again. I live in New York State, and I owe close to 10 grand from 2017 and 2019 to the IRS.
No, I did not hear his question.
Hello?
Well, I'll tell you, some of my videos. IRS is a failing agency right now. They cannot even collect taxes. So, no, I cannot get you out of it. There's no way I can legally completely guarantee out of it, because you signed those confession forms.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, I cannot get you out of it. However, I can tell you that IRS is not seeing from people. They're unable to collect. So yours is a very small case. There's a very good chance they'll leave you alone. They may come after you later on. Oh, well, at that time, maybe you pay him at that time. So I must see if I can, on our channel, your Moscow channel, show you the video that talks about this. IRS is falling apart. Here we go. I did this one. I'm going to show you guys on my screen, which is, let me see. Here we go. Here we go. Okay. This one, IRS is failing as a collection agency sending cases to private collection agency. Okay. Watch this video. Okay. And there, you see a lot of good stuff.
As a collection agency.
I can hear Gary's question, guys. What is he saying?
Watch
okay.
this video. Okay. And there,
I don't know what he's saying now.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you.
Okay. By the way, how'd you hear about us, Gary?
I saw you on the summit. I saw you on one of the summits. The Red Pill
what
summit.
What summit?
The Red Pill summit.
Red Pill. Okay, very good. Very good. Look at this. Okay, I'm going to get on the car with this way, with this headset. Okay, this is, for example, this is seat. You're cutting out, Gary.
I think I'm not saying anything. I'm watching you on the computer, too, I see.
Oh, good. This is a case of one of my students, $280,000, which was sent out to a toothless private collection agency called CBE Group. Okay, this company cannot go to your bank account or employer, take your money. They can only beg you for money. The IRS is falling apart. If they're leaving that big case alone, why would they bother a small $10,000 case like you? There's a very good chance they will leave you alone forever, and there's more, but that's the best I can give you. All right?
Okay, I appreciate it. Thanks.
You're welcome. Any other questions, Gary?
No, that's it for now. Thank you.
Okay. Yes? Oh, for the live stream, I have to end the question. Basically, Gary said that he, owed $10,000. What can I do about it? I said nothing, but they're probably going to leave him alone. Okay, but it cuts out by the way, guys, for some reason. Call for Miracle 914-293 prefix. Not there anymore, okay? If you have a question, folks, press 1 on your telephone keypad. That will even know you have a question. Press 1 on your telephone keypad, and that will even know you have a question. Uh-huh. We have a 2 call for your code 727 and call for your code 941. Okay. Okay. 941 callers only left right now. All right.
No, I'm here.
Name, I heard about it. And then your question, please.
Okay. My name is John. I sat in a white Cadillac with you in a pizzeria parking lot here a couple of years ago. And I have a couple of questions for you. When, is a trust considered to be an individual? I went to a closing on a property that I was selling, and they wanted to do a 1099. And I told them that it was not applicable, and I gave them the reasons. And I gave them your telephone number. I gave them your website, and I gave them the statutes. And they said, okay, I'm just going to do a 1099 on your IRS number instead. And I went through with the transaction because I needed the money, and I had to get rid of the property because the city of Tampa was about ready to fine me for them dumping toxic waste on my property with their labels on the cans. And they were telling me I had to clean it up, and I told them I wasn't cleaning it up. So, and they gave me a specific time frame. And the people that bought the property handled it, and they were developers. But the price of the property, it was 7.48 acres in the middle of Tampa, and I had to reduce the property price by $480,000 to sell it.
Wow. Sorry to hear that. Well, now you have the tools necessary to stop it. And, John, you ought to join the Restore Freedom Plan, my friend. Okay, remember, there's a standard price, and we lower it to make sure you all can afford it. Every student, whatever, you will come out ahead. I'll back you up the way you want to be backed up and give you peace of mind. Any other questions, John, before I go to the next people?
I do. Is there a statute of limitations on an IRS judgment?
Yeah.
But none?
Again, please.
Is there a statute of limitations on an IRS judgment?
There's an echo in the call for some reason. Statute of limitations on what? Collections or what?
Yeah, without my filing a 2011, they filed one for me and got a judgment. I asked for a collections due process hearing, which they never gave me, and they lied. They called me up and said that Ms. Out of the Blue telephone call was my collections due process hearing, and the statute number 5 clearly states that it has to be held in person in the nearest IRS office mutually agreed to by both parties. And I even appealed it up to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, and they said the judge can change that anytime he wants. The judge can't change statutes, but that's pretty much what it came down to. But is there a statute of limitations after which this judgment, and it's substantial, about $25,000, does that judgment ever expire? I live in Florida, as do you, and regular judgments have a limit, a statute of limitations. Is that applicable to the IRS also?
No. The IRS has 10 years to collect, and they may extend it for that 10 years, but that's very rare. So, yeah, it's probably by now probably maybe falling apart anytime. The tax may be gone.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do some calculations to figure out when the 10-year has or will expire.
Okay. Now, on the Federal Wetlands Act, it talks about it is applicable to all the citizens of the United States. Does that mean that the Wetlands Acts are only applicable in Washington, D.C. and the Virgin Islands or wherever the other one was?
He's asking about wetland lands. Wetland lands are completely different sets of laws. I do not know anything about them and their definitions.
In their definition, it says they're applicable to the United States citizens, all the states they're in. So
depends on how they define it. We got to look at that definition and the law to be able to have an answer to that question.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking that maybe you would think about, and your buddy there that's a lawyer in Alabama that has had the successes with you, if you need a bigger fan base, the wetlands could be, if you could get all the wetlands people joining you with your IRS problems because of the definition of the statutes and the authority granted within a statute, it could give you a more powerful base and
No, I know about the wetlands issue that you're talking about, but the problem is, John, I don't know these people. You know, you got to put me in touch with them. They got to take interest in me. I got to go chase them. You know, they could call me. If they're interested in working with Freedom Law School, I'll be able to talk to them.
Fantastic.
Have them call me.
Okay. God bless you.
Okay.
Or
God bless you, John.
Bless you, as the case may be.
All right, my friend. Good to hear from you. Thank you, John.
Do you have
any more callers? Nope. All right, guys. Thank you for your time. Take the time to listen and learn. So the question, this question really was not a question, by the way, Karen. This was about, John was talking about Wetland Act and laws, and he sold that real estate that he had to, you know, lower the price to close escrow. So it was not really a question.
And then the first caller, Gary, was asking about $10,000 that he owes the IRS, what can you do about it? Not much except not pay him, maybe. That's all. So there really was not any substantial questions at this point. No more questions at this time, guys? All right, guys. Two more questions just popped out. What area codes? 727 area code caller. All right. Call for area code 727. Give me your first name. I heard about us. And then your question, please.
All right. Call for area code 727.
There's echo, guys. I don't know why.
First name. I heard about us. And then your question, please.
Hi, it's Karen. It's Karen Nocello. Can you hear me?
Yes. No last name for privacy, Karen, okay?
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm familiar with you from several presentations.
Yes, yes. I remember you, Karen. No more about
area.
Your privacy. You just asked a question, so keep you as private as possible about what you, you want to know. Yes,
and I think the early on question might have been asked, and it was before we could hear the callers asking the question. So I just wanted to make sure I understood with regard to selling real estate, residential real estate. Just the example would be an investor buys a home, I don't know, let's just say for $300,000, and then they rent it out for a year. Then a year later, they sell it for $400,000. So they've gained $100,000. And, of course, at the closing, the title company has them sign that document that says we're required because it wasn't your homestead. It was, you know, you didn't live in the home. It was an investment. And then you must sign this paper because we're going to be sending a reporting to the IRS the proceeds. And you sign it because you have to because, well, not you, the seller, the investor, because they sold the home and they're closing on it. So I guess the question would be, what are the implications of that? And was that exactly the example that you were describing today by going through all those IRS definitions that they basically conspired between the title company and that seller investor who signed that form? What are the implications for that investor seller?
The only implication is that maybe there's a chance IRS may come after him because there's a false 1099 sent to the IRS that he made some money from the sale of that real estate, you know, and he can join our Restore Freedom Plan and we'll take care of him and fight the IRS off his back with a $70 million guarantee. That's all that may happen.
Okay.
Probably nothing.
Right, and of course the title company is not aware, and they're just, it's part of their standard closing package that they supply that form that says we're going to report to the IRS. So what if you say, well, you're the investor selling the property, and say, I'm not going to sign that. Well, then they're not going to close the property for you, presumably.
I have letters about this issue written for my students.
Okay.
I can help them with this. About this, more specifically directed to their escrow title companies.
Very good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Karen.
Okay.
Any other audience with any questions? I think we may have one more caller. That's it. Okay. Very good, guys.